be here. Now, some of you will know this is Venue Sunday for us today, and we've been running a little bit of a series through our Venue Sundays, just looking at sort of some of the foundations of the things that we believe and the things that are key to us in our faith. And today we're due to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about, but I've sort of widened it out really, and just to talk a little bit more generally about just being filled with the Holy Spirit. I absolutely believe that for each of us individually and for us together as a church, the work on the Holy Spirit in our lives is absolutely fundamental. It's vital to living the Christian life well. The Holy Spirit, he's the one who helps us to live the Christian life. He's the one who gives power to witness. He's the one who reveals Jesus to us. We need his work in our lives, individually and as we come together. Jesus, in John 14, talks about the Spirit as a spring of living water welling up inside us. Do you know that? Do you know? Do you sense, even today, a spring of living water welling up inside you? I guess if I'm honest, I'd say sometimes I've known that, but sometimes that well can get a little bit blocked, you know. I don't know whether it's things get stuck in there or whatever else. And sometimes you need to come back to God and say, actually, Lord God, now I do. I want that well of living water. I want your life flowing through me. Jesus talks about the Spirit as a river of living water flowing from the hearts of those who know Jesus. Do you know that flow of the living water? The situations that you are put in, are you conscious of the flow of the living water into those situations when you're in the room? Is the Holy Spirit in the room? We need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now that's a good verse, isn't it? Aren't you tempted sometimes to gratify the desires of the flesh? To sin, basically, to do things that offend God? Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, as we're filled by the Spirit, as the Spirit works in our lives. It helps us. It helps us to live lives that glorify Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, says later in the passage, a love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things you want more of? You can't say no, can you? Are these things you want more of in your lives? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives so that the fruit of the Spirit grow. So who is the Holy Spirit? How do we relate to him? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to look at today. And I'm going to do it in sort of three sections. I'm going to think about the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we sang in that first song today, didn't we? I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. And we believe that actually the Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead. We've got the Father with Jesus. He was there at the beginning. Genesis 1 verse 2, the second verse in the Bible, tells us the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters as God was creating the world and the various sort of elements of that. He was there throughout the Old Testament, certain times, certain places, certain people. We read about the Holy Spirit coming upon people. It tells us about Joshua was a man in whom the Spirit was present. Othniel in Judges, he had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him in his role as a judge. Similarly, Gideon, similarly, Samson, the Holy Spirit came upon them, it tells us. Certain people, certain times, for certain roles. But then we read in the New Testament that we see the Holy Spirit playing an important part for all believers. So the Holy Spirit is poured out into the hearts. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit as he left us. Acts 28:29, we hear the Spirit speaking. He said to Philip, go over and join the Ethiopian man in his chariot. In Acts 13, it's the Spirit who tells them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work. The Holy Spirit, a person who speaks into our hearts, who guides us, who leads us. One of my favorite verses at the moment, Romans 8:16, tells us the Spirit himself bears witness that our spirit, that we are children of God. The Spirit himself, the person of the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. Do you know that? I love that song. My favorite song at the moment is that song we sing, Holy Forever. You know, and in the chorus, I don't know if it's the chorus or some bit of it, anyway, it goes, if you are forgiven, if you've been redeemed, and I feel the Holy Spirit witnessing with my, that's me, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed. If you walk in, I do walk in freedom, I am free, if you bear his name. That I'm practically illustrating to you what it means for me to the Holy Spirit to bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child. I love it. And, you know, I'm kind of, I suppose, well, I'm not really academic or sort of person, but I'm kind of a reason sort of person. You know, I'll sort of work it out. I know I'm a child of God because the Bible tells me this, this, and this. That's where my foundation is. But then I love it when the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit. I'm a child of God. I bear his name. It's glorious. It's the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us. Holy Spirit is a person who can be grieved, it says in Ephesians. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that one who walks with us, who indwells us, who encourages us, who teaches us, who reveals more of Jesus. Isn't this something you want more of in your lives? The presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in John 14 and verse 15 says, he will ask the Father and he will give to his followers, that's you, if you're a follower of Jesus, he will give to his followers another helper to be with them forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit that the world cannot receive, but for us who are followers of Jesus, Jesus says, you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Our body, as believers, is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're temples. Kevin, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells with us. It's not just Kevin, but he just was in my eyesight when I was talking then. Susie, 2E2. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Later in John 14, it says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in Jesus' name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that Jesus has said. Again, it's how the Spirit works. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand more about Jesus. The Holy Spirit causes us to remember things that the Bible tells us when we're kind of in that difficult situation and, oh my goodness, that verse drops into your mind, you know. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be here, you know. And we stand back. It's the Holy Spirit's work. This is with us. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus, as he left, promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And let me just read this bit from John 16. This is Jesus just about to depart from them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They were sad Jesus was going. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Get this. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Glorious, isn't it? Spirit of truth. He never lies. He only tells us the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he would take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he would take what is mine and declare it to you. So you can see there's two aspects in this passage. Firstly, the Holy Spirit's work in revealing sin to people, showing them the need to get right with God and that judgment is coming. And then for the believer, the work outlined is about helping them, guiding into all truth, glorifying Jesus, reminding us of the truths that Jesus declared. We need the Holy Spirit's help. We need his work in our lives to help us glorify Jesus. You think it's amazing that Jesus said to them, it's better for me to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. I was thinking about it. You know, if Jesus came to Bexhill, you know, what would we do? We'd all kind of run out and we'd sort of all wonder where he's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to go down there and just hang around and see what he says. But Jesus says, it's better for me to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. The Holy Spirit's indwelling with us. Jesus with us in every situation. The Holy Spirit speaking, reminding us truth. The Holy Spirit guiding us in every situation, every moment of every day. Something to be treasured, isn't it? Something to be treasured. That's better than Jesus being with you. Just think about that for a minute and think whether you really believe it. Jesus said it. You've got to believe it. But, you know, just actually, the Holy Spirit, more precious than even having Jesus walking with us. Because he points us. He reveals Jesus. He helps us to understand more about Jesus. Let's be sure that we don't neglect the Holy Spirit amongst us. One of the reasons that we shouldn't neglect the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit brings us power. Power to witness. Power to see miracles working amongst us. Power to see situations and lives transformed. Jesus, in Luke 24, before he ascended, told the disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, but they're to stay in the city until he comes, until they are clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit, for us, comes to clothe us with power from on high. And we all know, don't we, the verses in Acts chapter 2, which tells us when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, a bit frightened, hiding away. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And straight away, these men who had been hiding away were filled with boldness. They preached powerfully to the crowd. And what happened, we know, don't we? 3,000 people came to Jesus as a result. That was the work. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. Next time you're on the promenade, imagine that, the Holy Spirit bringing thousands of people to come to know Jesus. We need the work and the power of the Holy Spirit inside us. Peter explained, didn't he, what was going on. He says, in the last days, it shall be, God declares,
that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is what he said was happening then. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and the magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts 4 again, we see the believers facing persecution, coming together to pray for boldness. And when they prayed, it said, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, continued to speak the word with boldness. It was vital for the New Testament times as they were taking the gospel out to know the Holy Spirit, giving them boldness, giving them strength, giving them power. Miraculous demonstrations of the power of the Spirit were a regular part of early church life. Acts 5 says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the gospel. By the hands of the apostles. Similarly too, when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, we read the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. They began speaking in tongues and extolling God. In Acts 19, we read about those who come to faith in Ephesus. Somehow they hadn't been taught about the Holy Spirit. So Paul instructs them, lays hands on them, and it says the Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking in tongues and prophesying. The Holy Spirit coming in tangible, demonstrable power upon those who were prayed for. The Holy Spirit was such a part of the early life of the church. And those are individual situations, but obviously he was there too as they gathered as a church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13-14 tell us about how they used the Holy Spirit and the gifts as they came together. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. When we gather as church, let each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. We want to build ourselves up, don't we, as we gather. And they go on then with some instructions. So where does that leave us? On one hand, we can say, well, you know, it's all right for them. They were exceptional times. The gospel was just coming. They were pushing against opposition. Of course, they needed the Holy Spirit to be strong and evident amongst them. But some would hold the view that we live in different times now. We don't really need the Holy Spirit in the same way. Some people will be genuine in holding that view. But it's not the view that we hold. We believe that we're living in days which are very dark too. Days when opposition can be difficult. When people can be against us. When the gospel is rejected. When barriers are put up. We need the Holy Spirit's help more than ever, I would argue, to live lives that glorify Jesus in our present day. We need, you need, I need the Holy Spirit at the school date, at work, with our neighbours, just as much as was needed then. And the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. It talks about it in an initial sort of filling as being baptised in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he came to John said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. That's what he said about Jesus. It's a being filled with the Holy Spirit that is for all of us. To yield to his work in our lives, to cry out to him for his indwelling presence. And I just, as I was thinking about today, I sort of thought, oh, you know, that yielding to Christ, to be filled with the Spirit, is to not be filled with other things. It's to give the whole of our lives to him. Say, Jesus, I want you to have full reign in my life. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. And the tense there, I understand, is not just a one-off, be filled. It's to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can sometimes just get a little bit dry. Life wears us down. We can kind of lose sight of the Spirit's work in our lives. We need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. We can sometimes feel we're running on empty. You know, life's just a bit of a drudge. It's just hard work. Where are those streams of living water that are meant to be flowing out of them? God wants to release those streams of living water from each of us again. You may feel disheartened. Things just haven't quite worked out as we hoped. Disappointments. Maybe feel a bit disillusioned. You need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've been doing the Alpha course recently, and one of the videos there's this, I think he's one of the Pope's preachers or something, old priest guy, and he says, whatever the Holy Spirit touches, he changes. You want some change in your life? A few areas where you're stuck? You want the Holy Spirit to bring change? Why don't you invite the Holy Spirit to touch those areas? You're struggling for peace, struggling for joy? Ask the Holy Spirit to bring some fruit out in your lives. In many ways, you know, whatever the question, the answer, I think, is we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to be fresh, filled afresh with him. We need to cut him to come upon us. And I know sometimes we can struggle in this area. For some, maybe the whole kind of supernatural element, it's a bit frightening. But I guess my response is, God only gives good gifts to his children. He cares. He's interested. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to come alongside you. Maybe for some, we've had bad experiences around the Holy Spirit. People maybe pushed us where we didn't want to go, or just seemed to be over the top. The Holy Spirit is a good gift. Maybe we've prayed before and not much happened. We didn't really feel any different. Didn't experience any kind of freedom in tongues. It was just a little bit disappointing. My encouragement will be, come and ask again. God is a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. He loves to pour out his Holy Spirit on those that ask. I say, I think there is a yielding to God in it. There is a sense in which, Lord, I surrender all that I am to you. Come and fill me afresh. And to be filled with the Spirit is to surrender completely to God's work in our lives. To yield to God. Even tongues, it's a stepping away from our own kind of logical understanding and framework and trusting again that if God's gift, he gives good gifts. We trust, we submit to him. We want to step into all that he has for us. John 7 says, if anyone is thirsty, that's the only qualification really, come to the one. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're thirsty, come to him and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Stand together, shall we? I'm going to invite you. I'm just going to invite you to invite the Holy Spirit into your lives. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you completely. Invite the Holy Spirit. Give you fresh vision of Jesus. Fresh sense of knowing that you are loved. That you are loved by the God, your Father in heaven. The one who wants to bless you. Wants to do you good. Wants to cover those hurts, those knocks you've had, those things that have set you back. Holy Spirit wants to come now to help you to know. Help you to know the Father's love for you. That stuff when you've gone off and just lost sight of God, when you've done wrong things. He wants to forgive you of those things. He wants you to come to Him again. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all that we need for life and for godliness. And Father, we just come now and we just submit again to the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We say, won't you come and fill us? Come and fill us completely, Lord God. Lord, or those areas where we've just kind of got a bit lukewarm or just got distracted, Lord God, we choose focus back on you to make space for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Put down our own agendas. Pick up His agenda for our lives. Holy Spirit, won't you come? Won't you come? Maybe, yeah, the band's here. Just strum away at something, if you wouldn't mind. Let's just be conscious. The Holy Spirit, I see some people in front of me here just lifting their hands, if that helps for you. God is a good, good Father. He wants to give good gifts to His children. Why don't we just start to raise our voices, just talk quietly to God. Just ask Him. Ask Him for what you want from Him. He kind of is not going to bully you. He's not going to press you where you don't want to go. He's a good, good Father. Imagine Him like that. What would you ask this good Father for? Just to come and bless you now. Just to come and meet you.